Father, I thank you again for our gathering this morning. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. It's amazing. And we thank you for everyone that is here today. Now, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light. And it gives understanding to the simple. And we ask that that light will shine into our hearts this morning. Give us understanding. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, even at this time, in Jesus' name. Amen. And the Lord be glorified. Amen and amen. Well, you know, I was meditating on the prophetic and all the stuff that we've been doing. And I, you know, pretty much thought I'd wrapped it up. But I realized I hadn't wrapped it up at all. In fact, there's so much more the Lord was showing me yesterday that needs to be discussed and shared on this incredible, it's like a well of water. You know, we can go there and, you know, draw, just draw and draw and draw. So, someone's mic may be open. Check your mics, please. Everybody's mics should be off. Right. And we are going to get into the real lesson in a moment. More on the gift of prophecy and the prophetic. It's so deep. It's like drawing water from a deep well. You can't really exhaust this. And it's so rich. And you're going to see and hear why in a little bit. It's a different perspective that I want to present today. And in this lesson, if I can cover it here, all of it, I will. If not, well, we'll see how the Lord leads. Some more things we need to understand about this gift. Now, remember all the things that we have covered, you know, but I want to focus more on the role of this incredible gift, what it can do in our lives and the church as well. The role of prophecy in guidance. How do we understand instructional, what I call instructional prophecy? I want to talk about, you know, you will remember that we've talked about, you know, the aspects of communicating a message from God. We've talked about the revelation of the message itself, which, you know, includes the inspiration and also communication. God inspires the message. That's divine. How we communicate it is human, and we need to develop, you know, and learn and do better and develop skills of communication. That's important as well. It has nothing to do with, you know, the message itself. But, you know, if you can communicate better, then that's great, you know, because it's all about communication. If we're not able to communicate the message properly, well, who will understand then what the message means? You know, so that's there. But then also there is the interpretation of the message itself. It's kind of like someone's mic is open. So turn your mics off, please. It's kind of like the gift of diverse kinds of tongues. You know, somebody begins to speak in tongues and there's no interpretation. Well, I mean, how in the world is everybody going to understand what they're saying? You know, so the same way with, you know, the gift of prophecy, even though it might be in plain language, we can't presume that we understand the message unless the message is explained or interpreted, you know, so. Sometimes there are interpretations that is necessary because the prophecy can come by dream, by vision, by, you know, symbolism and different things. And if we don't know how to put them all together, we may not get interpretation. And then after all of that, you know, once we know what is communicated and we understand it, well, how do we apply it? you know, so we must also apply it properly, because it could be instructional, you know, that could be instruction in the prophecy as well, you know. So I'm going to dwell more along those lines. And, you know, now remember that we have talked about, you know, how prophets were more prominent in the Old Testament, you know, guiding and doing this and that. That role has been taken over by the Holy Spirit for the New Testament church. However, the same Holy Spirit can put the gift of prophecy on somebody, you know, and they can still share the mind of the Lord in that, you know. Now, we want everybody to develop the, you know, aptitude for walking in the prophetic on our own. However, you know, I want to point out that there is a function, you know, especially that I want to bring out today, that the Holy Spirit through the gift of prophecy can bring. Now, I want to talk about, you know, I want to talk about the Holy Spirit in the gift of prophecy has the ability, listen to this, has the ability, the gift of prophecy, has the ability to see, has the ability to discern. We've talked about some of those things. Has the ability to guide. That's instructional. You know, the gift of prophecy can do all of that. Whether it is you receiving the prophecy for yourself or for someone else, can do all these things. But I want to focus more importantly today on something the Holy Spirit said to me yesterday that I did not explain or cover. And it is the ability to cause a shift. That's right. You heard me. The gift of prophecy carries the ability to create a shift. And we're going to be talking about that today. And that's so important. You know, we listened to a song that said, "You made a way." Well, the gift of prophecy has the ability to cause a shift. And that's the one that I want to talk about more today. But first, in general, let's remind ourselves of the role of the Holy Spirit when it comes. Jesus talked about it. We've talked about it multiple times in this room, calling him the Spirit of Truth, that he will guide us into all truth, and that he will teach us, you know, even bring to our remembrance the things which the Lord already told us, and he will show us things to come. So all of these things can be wrapped up, even in the gift of prophecy. Now, a prophet, on the other hand, as we have talked about, you know, they are in a dimension and a role. They will have the gift of prophecy, no doubt. But they are in a dimension and a different plane, you know, because the Lord can speak to them in all these ways, dreams, visions, you know, discernment, this and that, the ability to see, you know, into even the past. That's right. Present, the future. There, you know, really, there is no present or future with the Lord, you know. So, you know, the Lord can bring a prophet through all those things, and they can, I mean, they can go really deep. I mean, just consider, you know, some of the things that, you know, Moses wrote when there was nobody there to tell it to him, you know, and, you know, things that happened in Genesis and so on, you know, the prophetic, the anointing that the call for the prophet can take them deep. Into those things. But even the gift of prophecy, whether or not, you know, the person that operating that gift is called into the office of a prophet, you know, can take slices of that, can see, can discern, can guide. And more especially today, we want to talk about the ability in the gift of prophecy to create a shift. And this is important for us, because we're always going through, all of us, one time or the other. Even today, as we are here in this room, people are going through all kinds of stuff, you know. So, and the gift of prophecy can come there and bring an atmosphere that can create a shift. I want to talk about that today. And I will use some examples, and then some even real life. But first, I want to give an example or some examples in the scriptures. Now, first of all, I'll talk about foretelling in general. I mean, because the gift of prophecy can foretell, because Jesus said, "We'll show you things to come." It can foretell. Now, that's not predict. That's just foretelling. You say it exactly like it is going to be. It's not guesswork. Prediction is not prophecy, but prophecy can foretell because it sees exactly the way it is and they say it. Now, we've seen God send messages, mostly in the Old Testament. This was more prevalent then. It was angels bring messages and so forth. Those angels, they were not claiming to prophesy. They were just saying it the way it is. just say it. And sometimes, an angel of the Lord might, speak in the name of the Lord. When they speak, you almost think that they are speaking, that it's the Lord speaking. And then today, we see that we use phrases when we speak or purport to speak from the Lord. We use phrases to try to get people's attention, like thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord is a good thing, but remember we've covered it in the lessons when we're exposing, did the Lord really say? We covered that. Now, we're talking about when the Lord really says here. We've already dealt with if the Lord didn't say. But now we're talking about the Lord really says. But the Lord really says, doesn't have to be couched or shrouded in thus saith the Lord. The person that's speaking may say that or not say that. That's not what makes it prophecy, whether you say thus saith the Lord or not thus saith the Lord. What makes it prophecy is the fact that it's the revelation of the Holy Spirit into a dimension that you could not have known. That's what makes it prophecy. Whether you say thus saith the Lord or not. Now, sometimes, mostly the one that we're most familiar with is something that is yet to occur. And that's why if you ask people, most people, the definition of prophecy, that's the one they will think about. But I want you to think about this. The ability, the God-given, God-inspired ability that comes, in a pronunciation of a message to a person of God's people that could give them the ability to receive something they could not, or did not have a moment before the prophecy was given, the ability for them to do something that they could not do before, and so on and so forth, it comes with the gift of prophecy, so powerful, and bring a shift like that. But it's got to be mingled with faith. Remember, when it's not mingled with faith, now that's why I say it has the ability. That's why I call it ability. It's potential, potential energy is there, but something's got to jumpstart it. What jumpstarts it is your faith, but it has the ability to create a shift. And we are going to talk about that. But remember that, we are warned that, prophecy must, or even anything that God tells us, must be mixed with faith. Because if it's not mixed with faith, what good is it? I mean, what if some did not believe? Unbelief, the word of God of non-effect? No, but for them, it will not have any effect because they did not believe. So the word must be mixed with faith. The faith is the trigger, and remember the scripture says the deep calls unto the deep, right? Remember that. The deep calling unto the deep is actually even more relevant when you are talking about this subject that I'm about to talk about today. You know, the deep calls unto the deep. Yeah, let's take a look at Psalm 42 and consider verse 7. Psalm 42 and verse 7. And we're going to bring the application of this. Deep calleth unto the deep. The noise of thy water sprouts. Now remember, before he said this, the thing that he was saying just before that was, you know, some of the distress that he was in and how he was longing for God. So if you read that psalm from the beginning, it said, look, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. Now that creates an atmosphere for the prophetic to really be able to operate. You know, when there is a yearning and a thirsting, and you know, sometimes people don't know what it is they're yearning for. They're yearning for something. You know, and you know, this man, he said, look, my soul thirsteth for God, even the living God. When shall I come to appear before God? Then he went into some of the things that were distressing him. My tears, been crying over some stuff, been my meat all day and night. You know, I mean, probably getting reproach. You know, people are saying to him, where is your God? I mean, and so forth. After all, you say you are a believer. All these things. So when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. You know, sometimes I even went to the house of God. And some people went to the house of God. I mean, like your church service on Sunday or midweek service or whatever. And you're there and people are shouting the victory, praising the Lord. But inside your heart, there is this burden. You know, there is this emptiness, but yet you're there, you know, go through the motions with the praising the Lord and so forth. But there is this heaviness or emptiness sometimes, or there's this something that's missing, you know, and people are there with the voice of joy and praise, and a multitude that kept holy day. But inside his soul, you know, his soul was cast out. And so he began to say, Lord, you know, I mean, sorry, he began to say to his soul, my soul, why that cast down within me? Why that discouraged? And he encouraged himself, you know, to still praise the Lord and to rejoice at the help of his countenance. So he reminded himself of all the good things. You know, I will remember the Lord from the land of Jordan and of the Ammonites on the hill Mizar, you know, the different places where God had given him victory in the past. And now he says, and he throws this thing out here. Like deep calleth unto the deep. Ah. So let's talk about that in the light of the prophetic, the faith that must be there, you know. And if, you know, if things are mixed with faith, what happens? And if it's not mixed with faith, what happens either or not happen? So it is important, you know, that the prophetic be mixed with faith, right? In the ones that hear it, not just that speak it, but more importantly, the ones that heard it. You know, in the book of Hebrews, you know, chapter 4, this lesson is brought out clearly for us to consider. You know, God can reveal and speak different things at different times, but this is important. A promise can come, spoken from God. You know, God can reveal something that is yet to occur, but that's what the Holy Spirit does, show you things to come. You know, in this case, he told them a promise of entering into rest. There was a promised land and all these things. You know, and he said, look, in our own case, if there's a promise for us of entering into something, well, let's make sure we don't fall short of it. For unto us, the gospel was preached just like it was preached unto them in those days. But for them, the word that was preached unto them did not profit them because it was not mixed with faith. Well, what I preached, spoken, written, the prophetic can reveal something that is yet to occur, but if it's not mixed with faith, it may not profit them that heard it. So that's why I call the prophetic has the ability to cause a shift, but the trigger is faith that will cause that shift. So let's talk about what that all means. Well, here are some examples in the Bible that God even sent angels to, you know, give his word to people at different times. You may call it prophetic. You may not call, we generally don't think of angels in, you know, in relation to the prophetic, but yeah, they brought a lot of prophecy in the Bible. You know, the entire book of Revelation that was, you know, called the revelation of Jesus Christ, we're told God sent and signified it by the hand of his angel to his servant John. All that stuff was sent to, and it was all prophecy, was sent to John by an angel. The book of Daniel, we saw the angel came to him many times, you know, to give him understanding. You know, Gabriel said, well, I've come. No one holds with me in these things except Michael, your prince. And I'm come to give you understanding. And he began to break it down for him, you know. And it was all prophetic, all the things that he was saying. It was from the angel, you know. So those angels many times in the Bible, just as an example, they brought some things, you know, a look into the dimension that the person they were speaking to did not know or have at the time. And sometimes they would give even a deeper understanding. Now let's consider just a few examples. And then there's a part here that I want to get to. You know, there are many of these examples in the Bible. The story of Gideon, we've told you, you know, I've shared it multiple times here. Even during the series of, you know, hearing God's voice and so forth, we talked about the story of Gideon, how at first he didn't know the voice of the Lord, you know, and so on and so forth, you know, and, you know, but when the angel came to speak to him, there was something, you know, that the angels said to him, right? And if you look at carefully in Judges chapter 5, look at carefully what the angel said to him. Well, let's pick it up from verse 11. And there came an angel of the Lord. We know it was an angel of the Lord. It's clearly said there. And sat under the oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained to Joash, the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threaded wheat by the winepress to hide it from Midianites. You know the story of how they would thresh meat and Midianites would come and steal it from them. So they were doing it in hiding. Bully them, actually, to get it. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, now it was the angel, the Lord is with you, thou mighty man of valor. Now, Gideon didn't think of himself as a mighty man of valor. I mean, it's like, what are you talking about? I'm hiding in the corner here from my enemies, my oppressors. But there was something in the word of the angel that had the ability to create a shift. Now listen to this. A word came to Gideon and said, you know, you're a mighty man of valor. The word, now think of it as a prophetic word, saw something in Gideon that he himself did not even recognize. But the prophetic word saw something in him. And he said to him certain things. And so the man, you know, of course, you know, he didn't see, you know, he said, look, we're all in disarray. All the miracles we heard about before, they are not here and all of this stuff. So how can I be a mighty man of valor? You know, and the prophetic word said to him, I can use that fire. The Lord can use that fire. You know, see, the Lord saw something in him that he himself didn't even know was there. Now, that's the ability of the prophetic to create a shift. Now, that got this man thinking. He wasn't thinking of it before. He was hiding. He was in the corner, hiding behind caves and everything. But when the prophetic word came to him like that, it created a thinking in him. Well, maybe God wants to do something here. he started to check it out. Well, we know that he went through some things to check it out. But it sparked something in him, which he didn't even know was there. But the Lord knew it was there. But the Lord said, I can use that fire. I like that. I can use that. But he didn't think of himself like that. So you can see how this prophetic word came to him from the angel of the Lord, which it's really a prophecy in this case. God's telling him how God's going to use him, to deliver the Midianites. The children of Israel, say, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent thee? So now you can see how this thing carries, a flavor, something there that's about to cause a shift. This man didn't know that he was going to be a deliverer, but God knew he was going to be. And the word that came would cause and create that thing, bring that trigger about. Of course, the recipient, have to receive it by faith. And this man, initially, he doubted it because he looked at his circumstances and said, me, a man of valor, I'm hiding here in the caves, but the Lord, was patient with him. And eventually, once he figured it out, something happened to Gideon that wasn't there before. It was there, but it was kind of latent and he didn't know it, but the Lord knew it. But the word, the prophetic word, ignited something in him, created a shift, from the man that was hiding in the caves to the man that would get up, rally an army and do great things, but it was the prophetic word that's caused that shift. So think about that for a minute. Okay. Now, let me give you a few more examples. There's something I want to say here. There are many similar examples like that. I want to talk about, the example of the angel that came, and even before the angel, we've seen the Lord himself visiting Abraham in the book of Genesis, right? And speaking to them, and Abraham talking, the Lord speaking to him and his wife, somewhere in the back of the tent and so forth. And the Lord saying something, the story, the one that Sarah laughed about, and why did Sarah laugh? because the Lord asked him, where is Sarah, thy wife? And he said, well, she's in the tent. But this is Genesis chapter 18 and verse 9. Well, and then he said, well, at this time I will certainly return, and according to the time of life, lo, your wife Sarah will have a son. Now, Sarah heard it in the tent, we're told in verse 10, I was behind him. Now, Abraham and Sarah were well old and stricken in ages. So, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. She stopped having her cycles or whatever. And naturally speaking, she could no longer bear children. So she laughed. See, but the prophetic word had the ability to create a shift in that situation. Are you still with me? The prophetic word that was given, even though she laughed, just like Gideon thought he couldn't do it, Sarah thought she couldn't do it. But this prophetic word had the ability to cause a shift. Now, and the Lord said to Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child which I am old? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? As Sarah said to say, I didn't laugh. The Lord said, but you did too. So at the time appointed, I'll return unto you, And according to time of life, Sarah shall have a son. That's it. Now, laugh or not laugh, something in that word had the ability to cause something to happen that could not have been there. This woman could not have conceived because she was past her time. He stopped being with her according to the women and so on and so forth. You know, but there was something in that word. Ha! Hallelujah. Are you catching it? There was something in that prophetic word. It's prophetic in the sense that it is something yet to happen. So that makes it prophetic. Now, but they had to believe it. Sarah herself wasn't so sure that it could happen, but Abraham latched on to it. So at least one person believed. But we're told in the book of Romans, chapter 4, that, you know, Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And he was persuaded that what God had promised, he was also able to perform, which there, you know, caused God to, you know, call him the father of faith. He believed who against hope, we're told, believed in hope. He might become the father of many nations, according to what was shown to him and so on. There are many things, you know, in the life of Abraham, many times the Lord spoke to him. But each of those times that God spoke to him, the word that God spoke to him, which was future, which you might say is prophetic, had the ability to create something. Now, even in Genesis 15, when the Lord spoke to him, and he didn't even have a child yet, God told him, I'm your reward. I'm your shield, exceeding great reward. And Abraham went on a rant about not having a child and so forth. Well, you know, the Lord was merciful to him because the Lord offered him something more than just a child, offered him himself, you know, but Abraham focused on the child. We've talked about this when we talk about need consciousness. But the fact of the matter remained that that word that came to him had the ability to trigger something in him. Now, this is the aspect that I want to focus on today, just so we don't relegate the gift of prophecy to the background just because of some of the other things we've said. A prophetic, whether you're receiving it yourself, whether through the grace of God, God is bringing it to someone, through someone that you honor and you respect, not some random stranger, someone you honor, you know, say, you know, give honor to those that have the rule over you spiritually. Maybe your spiritual leader, maybe someone like that. And God can bring them the ability, give them something that can bring the ability to create a shift in your life. Now, when the gift of prophecy gets very deep, like in the realm of the prophet, you can actually see where things are in disalignment. Disalignment. And it can give instruction. It's instructional prophecy. It can create opportunity for a shift. Faith is needed, but it can also give instruction, alignment, you know, proper alignment. You know, we'll see that in the story of Jehoshaphat and the prophetic that came, the prophetic declaration that came in 2 Chronicles 20, a story that we've read and discussed many times, but let's look at a different angle today. The word that came was right before the word came, they saw themselves as nothing before the great company that came against them. You know, three different companies, the children of Ammon, the children of Moab, the children of Mount Seir, came against them. And they completely outnumbered them. And they saw themselves as unable in the natural to match strength for strength, number for number. You know, Jehoshaphat did know and say, well, our eyes are on you, Lord. And when the word of the Lord came, you know, there was something, you know, that was in the prophetic revelation that came that will create a shift. Whereas they were thinking of amassing forces to match strength for strength, number for number, Shiran, Ammon, Moab, Sound, Masaya, all of them, you know, when the prophetic came to give instruction, see, all of a sudden, Jehoshaphat realigned his thinking. You know, I don't need numbers. You know, I don't need numbers. I can't match them anyway. Where am I going to get all the numbers to match these people? And so all of a sudden, something shifted. There was this man called Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, you know, and, you know, he just spoke. Hearken ye, all Judah, he said, are ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, hearken to my words. Thus saith the Lord unto you. Now, he put thus saith the Lord there. Be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Now, that's a prophetic release. And it's about to create a shift in the atmosphere, because prior to that, Jehoshaphat is thinking in his head, how in the world are we going to match strength for strength, number for number, you know, and so forth against this company. But now this prophetic is going to create a shift, and he's going to tell him something. So, well, you know, prophetic revelation that's coming here, declaration, he said, it's not, this battle is not yours. Well, how in the world is not mine? These are my enemies that come to me, you know. And, you know, he said, look, this battle is not yours, but it's the Lord's. My goodness. And then he said, look, you will not even need to fight in this battle. Now, that's strange, okay? But it's a realignment. This is what the prophetic, when it gets into that realm of instruction, can do. It can realign, help you to realign your thinking. Normally, when you go into battle, you go into battle to fight. You know, I mean, what else? What are you going to battle for? You know, but this thing is telling you, I'm going to, you know, you're not going to fight in this battle. Well, what are we going to do then? You know, why, how would you go in? Think about it, ladies and gentlemen. How would you go into battle not to fight? You know, in his mind, he's scrambling. How are we going to raise numbers to match these numbers? We can't do it. But the Lord said, you're not going to need to do it. Now, that's the power of the prophetic. You can reveal, you know, something and a rearranging and realignment of situation. That's right. You realign the situation, you know, but there has to be faith behind it. That's why the man said, look, you believe in the Lord and you'll be established, and you must believe also his prophets so that you can prosper. You know, faith has to come, you know, to join forces with that prophetic release, and immediately it'll create a shift. That's right. Immediately. Now, the effect may be a little later on. In this case, the effect was tomorrow, but today it created a shift. The shift was, whereas they were thinking we are outnumbered before the prophetic release came, the moment the prophetic release came, it created a shift for them to now think, yeah, we can do this. Because the Lord said, we can do it. We don't even need to fight. You know, and to prove to you that this man believed the word, he said, look, all you fighters, you stay in the back. The Lord said, we're not going to fight. We're not going to need to fight. I'm going to find some people that know how to praise the Lord. Are you kidding me? Well, yeah, that's the power of the prophetic. The prophetic carried that shift, created a shift, and all of a sudden, they believed something they didn't believe a moment before. Now, they now know that they can win this battle, which before, they thought they couldn't win, because of the word of prophecy. The gift of prophecy did that. And you know the rest of the story. You know, so, that's powerful stuff. I want you to think about that. Because that's the lesson I'm bringing out today. The ability for the prophetic release to create a shift. And that's why, you know, sometimes we'll have these rooms and we'll call it prophetic release. Because what the Lord wanted me to explain it today. Because we're trying, you know, to get the people to receive something that's going to cause a shift. The prophetic release doesn't do anything by itself. You can call it anything you want. You can call it, thus saith the Lord. Call it prophetic release all night long, all day long. It's not going to do anything, but it carries the ability to create the shift. The one thing it needs is for your faith to unite with that word. And there's an ignition. When your faith unites with that word, it causes something to ignite. And something happens which wasn't there before. See, that's the element that I want to bring in today. And it's so important that we get it. That's why from time to time, when the Lord moves on me, you know, I'll do some of these prophetic prayers or some of these things. But that's all what it's all about, is that we put out a prophetic word and release, you know, and then that word carries the ability to cause your situation to change. That's right. In a moment, you don't believe it, and cause your situation to change. All the people throughout the Bible, the angel of the Lord, you know, visited Zacharias, who was a priest at the time, burning incense and doing all these things they did. It was the mother of one Elizabeth, the husband of one Elizabeth, who was to be the mother of one John the Baptist. You know, and there was a lesson that was taught us there as well. When the prophetic is bringing you an ability to create a shift, you better align with it. Otherwise, God might smack you around a bit. And the Lord smacked this guy around a bit. But the mercy of the Lord, it was important because John the Baptist had a mission. You know, he was to be the forerunner. So God wasn't going to let somebody's unbelief, you know. Now, you know, in things that have to do with God's eternal purpose, he would override like that, you know. But most of the time, you know, God needs us to align and get into agreement with the prophecy. In this case, though, the angel was angry with him. And he said, look, I am Gabriel. You know, my words don't fail. You know, and I've told you this thing and you didn't believe. And you are a priest. You should believe these things. You know, so, you know, and then, you know, smote him around a bit. You will be dumb until this thing happens and then you will know. But it was going to happen. Now, that word was going to create a shift. Even in somebody that was distant. His wife wasn't there. The word came to him. But that word has the ability to create a shift. And later on, well, the angel will come to Mary and tell her something too. Say, look, your cousin Elizabeth, who had been called barren, is now 6 months pregnant. Because there was a word that created a shift. Now, in the case of Mary, though, let's listen to the exchange between the angel and Mary. Now, this angel appears in momentous times, this Gabriel, that brings significant messages and different things. And, you know, in Luke, in the book of Luke, the way the story was portrayed, we saw that, you know, this angel, you know, in the 6 month of Elizabeth being pregnant, the first part of the chapter one of Luke was about Zacharias and, you know, and all of that, John the Baptist, how John the Baptist will come. Then from this part, we start here at about verse 26 or so. In verse 26, the angel Gabriel, you know, came to this place called Nazareth. And there she found this woman called Mary. And the angel came in unto her. Whether the door was locked or not, we don't know. But the angel suddenly appeared to her. And he said, well, hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. Now, this word is about to create the most significant shift in all of creation, you know, that we are about to see. Because this woman is about to experience something that has never happened before and will never happen again. And she said, she was troubled at this saying, what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said to her, don't worry about it. Fear not. I'm not here to harm you. You know, the Lord has chosen you because you found favor with God. And she's thinking, favor with God. What's this all about? And she said, behold. Now, you see, the word is about to be released now. All of that was to parlay her fears and so on. But now the word is about to be released. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb. See, now prophetic, because it's something that hasn't happened. You know, so it's releasing it to her. And he said, you conceive in your womb, and you bring forth a son, and you call his name Jesus. And he's, you know, step by step telling her everything. You know, so this is a prophetic release. You know, and he shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David. And he's telling her all these things. I mean, she's like, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom there shall be no end. And she's listening to this thing and I'm like, oh, wow. I mean, yeah, I hear you, but, you know, I've not been with a man. You know, she was a spouse at that time, but yet to be married. You know, so, and then, you know, she wasn't sleeping around or anything like that. So she knew this could not happen. There's no way. You know, am I going to be pregnant when I'm not sleeping with any man? You know, so, but this word is about to cause a shift in the thing that could not happen naturally. The word is about to create a shift. And that's why I call it the most significant shift ever in the whole Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. Never seen anything like it, and we never will see anything like it. And the word said to her, don't worry about it. It is the power of the Holy Ghost that's going to come upon you. Holy Ghost. Well, maybe at that time she may have heard about the Spirit of God and so forth, but not heard it in this fashion. Holy Ghost will come upon you. The power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that holy thing that shall be born of you shall be called. Now, this is the reason why we call, let me just digress a little bit here. This is the reason why we call Jesus the Son of God. The angel is explaining it to her here. He cannot be called the son of Mary. He cannot be called the son of Joseph, because Joseph wasn't even in the picture. Whose son will he be then? Well, think about it. The Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. Hallelujah. Never heard any such thing. And he said, look, and that holy thing that will be born of you, be conceived of the Holy Spirit. That makes the Holy Spirit his father, right? Whoever makes the woman pregnant is the father. Holy Spirit is his father. Make no mistake about it. But that's the very God. We call him Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, and so forth when he's in our dimension. But it's the very God. Come upon you, and you will be pregnant, and you will have a son, and this is his name. And in that moment, something's about to happen. And he had to tell her, look, even your cousin Elizabeth, and this angel, she knows all these things. Even your cousin Elizabeth, now that settled her mind a little bit. Your cousin Elizabeth, who was called barren, is now 6 months pregnant. Because with God, there shall nothing be impossible. Woo-hoo. Now, see, something is about to happen. Something has been released of a profound, I mean, impact. You know, never heard of. We know Isaiah prophesied it. Nobody understood it. In Isaiah 7:14, a virgin shall conceive and all that. Nobody understood all that. You know, maybe Isaiah did, but nobody understood it. But now, it's about to happen. All of that is about to culminate in this one moment. But there was something that was needed. Now, this power was latent in the word that the angel released. Was about to create a shift. But there was something that was needed from her. Glory to God. The one thing, and God knows how to pick them. Woo-hoo! God knows how to pick them. Glory to God. He picked the one person that would say exactly what she said. Because it was needed. And what did she say? Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. You know, I exist at your pleasure. It's basically what she said. Handmaid is somebody who they boss around, send them to do anything, give them instruction, they do anything you want. They exist at the pleasure of the master. You know, he said, look, I am the handmaiden of the Lord. Be it unto me. Now that's all. That's all that was needed. Be it unto me according to thy word. That's all. The gift of prophecy needs to hear that from you. When the Lord releases that gift to you like that, the word, it has the ability to create a shift. But you must say, be it unto me according to thy word. And the moment she said that, she became pregnant. Glory to God. Yes, and all that was needed. And John, he would release and he would explain this later. He called it, the word was made flesh. And he dwelt among us. In the book of John, chapter 1. Woo-hoo. You know, when was the word made flesh? Well, the moment that she said, be it unto me according to thy word. My goodness, that word was made flesh in that moment. John chapter 1 and verse 14. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the next time you attend or you hear somebody give a prophetic release, know two things. And I'm going to do something like that in this here today, right here, before you leave. You know, as long as we're on a roll, we might as well do it. Now, the next time you hear a prophetic release, you know, Bible say, do not despise prophesying. You know, what you want to do is position yourself to say, Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Because that gift of prophecy has the power to create a shift. But you must come in alignment. And the moment you come in alignment, that word will be made flesh in you. That's it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, that's the lesson. There's more that I want to say that the Lord put in my mind that I need to cover on the gift of prophecy. Yesterday I was meditating on it. But that's what I'm going to say this morning. We'll come back for the rest later. But let me remind you of the things that we're talking about here. The role of the gift of prophecy in our lives. Now, it's not a gift that we should dismiss just because of all the other things that we have said. You can have this gift and it can operate in your life. We'll call it walking the prophetic. God can speak to you through you. That's right. God can speak to you through you. And God can speak to somebody else through you. God can speak to you through somebody else. You can do all these things. You know, but we must have this understanding. Now, we will talk about understanding instructional prophecy later. You know, but sometimes it's point blank. You know, and it took some coaching from the angel for Mary to get to the point. Now, Mary was not rebuked like Zacharias, because to whom much is given, much is expected. Now, Zechariah, in his position, the angel expected him to understand better. You know, I mean, so the angel was angry with him. And the angel was not angry with Mary. It was the same thing that both of them said. Look, well, my wife is old, he said. This one said, well, I'm a this and that. I can't do it. I'm a virgin. It's the same thing. But the angel wasn't angry with her at all. Just explain it to her. This is what is going to happen. You know. But you being a priest, you ought to know better. So the angel was angry with him. So you are the one that teach people these things. So why don't you understand it yourself? But that wasn't going to stop God, because this was something that was part of his divine eternal purpose. Now today, when the word is released, we need to know what is released. So the person, and we will talk about, you know, maybe later on, we'll talk more about, you know, how to actually prophesy these things. But remember what I said before. If you don't have compassion, you have no business prophesying to the people of God. Just be quiet in the corner somewhere. You know, because the Holy Spirit is molding and building his church. He's not destroying it, you know. And, you know, some of those Old Testament prophets, they like to judge the nations, judge and do all of these things. Elijah was a man, call fire down, you know, break everything down, kill everybody. You know, Jesus said, you don't know what, you know, what spirit you have. When John and James were trying to say, well, let's call fire down, because we've seen Elijah do it, and we can do it too. And Jesus said, yeah, you can do it, but that's not who you are. You know, we don't do that stuff anymore. So you have to set them straight. And this same Elijah, when he comes back, except for, you know, when he comes back in the Great Tribulation, they're going to have to bring some judgment. But before that, the Lord said through Malachi, I will send the, you know, spirit of Elijah. When he comes this time around, he's going to be in the business of reconciliation, not killing anybody, not killing 800 prophets. He's going to be turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. Malachi chapter 4 verses 5 and 6. You know, this is the way. It's not doing all that calling down fire, destroying everybody anymore, you know, and so on. You know, so let's not think of, you know, if you want to prophesy, don't think of yourself, you know, coming, calling fire down people. We don't do that stuff anymore. But think of, you know, edifying the body of Christ. And as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, you want to prophesy? Great. We're actually encouraged to seek to do that. But according to 1 Corinthians 14 and 12, you must seek to excel to the edifying of the church. That's what it's all about. If it's in your mind to edify, if it's in your mind to encourage, if it's in your mind to lift up, and, you know, God will give you a word that will lift up. You know, that's why Job said, look, when men are cast down, you will be saying that, say, lifting up. You know, that's who you are. You are a lifter-upper. You are not a downer. You know, so. But for the person who's receiving that word, I want you to know, both the person that's giving the word and the person that's receiving it, I want you to know today that the word carries the ability to create a shift. That's the most significant part of the gift of prophecy that I want to bring out today. You may never have thought of it that way, but that's it. And so we're going to do a prophetic release here today. Praise the Lord. You know, and what that means is this. The word that is spoken carries the ability to create a shift in your life. That's right. And all that he needs from you is, be it unto me according to thy word. That's it. And the moment you can say that and get behind, you know, that word like that, you will be able to do something you couldn't do before. You'll be able to attain something you couldn't attain before. Something that couldn't have been will now be on the track to be. And this is why prophecy works, you know. And then all of a sudden, this man, you know, every one of these stories that we've talked about, Abraham, you know, the moment he believed it, had the ability to become the father of nations. Even though it was to be many years later in the making, but he believed it. It was counted to him for righteousness. The moment Gideon believed it, he shifted his thinking of being someone cowering behind the caves to somebody who's going to be a deliverer. And that's right. Every time the word comes to you, Moses, the word came to him. I'm going to send you back there. Moses was running away before. This time around, he's not running away from anybody. Praise the Lord. You know, so, and on and on and on and on. And lastly, the greatest example of this was, of course, in Mary. We saw the example in Jehoshaphat, but then we saw the one in Mary, you know. But I want you to understudy the story of Jehoshaphat, because it was so powerful as well. Because before the word came, he thought he couldn't do it. He thought they couldn't match their enemies in numbers. They couldn't match them in strength and so forth. The word changed their thinking. Changed his thinking. And immediately he worshipped. And it caused everybody around him to worship as well. So today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, but worship. You know, and get behind that word and believe it, because it can create a shift for you. Are you ready? I'm going to declare certain things for you. All you are here today, not by chance. You may have thought you came in by chance. You know, people say that at times. Maybe that's your thinking. But no one comes unto God except the Father draws him. Jesus said, you know, draw you. So he draws you. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causes to approach unto you, according to Psalm 65. So God chose you. He caused you to approach. Now come near. Let my sons come near, saith the Lord. Come near, you strong ones, sir. Hallelujah. Well, you say, well, I'm not a strong one. Well, that's what Gideon thought. But you come near. God calls you a strong one. So come near. That's right. Hear the word that's going to change your story. Praise the Lord. Change my story, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to declare and pray over you here this morning. Thank God that you are here. It is your opportunity to receive the power that is going to cause a shift in your situation. That's right. A shift in your situation. Now, whatever that situation is, that's between you and the Lord. You know, I don't know everybody's situation unless the Lord reveals something, you know, but you know, one thing I do know is what I've told you today, that, you know, well, of course, when that gift of prophecy gets deep, it can see into many things. I'm not doing that today, but I'm going to do the prophetic release in the area of this word is coming to cause a shift for you. And it carries the power to do that. That's all you got to believe. So, ladies and gentlemen, before I pray and release this word over the room, take a moment to sanctify your heart. That's right. Because this is what the psalmist did. He looked at all of his situation and so forth, but he sanctified his heart and said, well, I will yet praise him for the light of his countenance. Or sanctify your heart, because the deep calls unto the deep. You know, when there is this fertile ground to receive it, the gift of prophecy will thrive. You know, it will thrive when you are hungering and thirsty. My soul thirsted for the Lord. You know, well, the gift of prophecy with that. The real gift will thrive. Not the one that's going to make merchandise of you, but the real gift will thrive. And the Lord, he will speak to you. Thanks be. It doesn't have to be through someone else's voice. It can be through you, God speaking directly to you. That's what's called walking in the prophetic. And he might take one of his words. You may hear just one word from the Lord, or read what's one thing from the scripture. And all of a sudden, that anointing comes upon it. And it creates the power to cause a shift. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, is there anybody here today that needs a shift? You know, you need a shift? Well, hear ye the word of the Lord. You know, God has spoken. Have you heard his voice? If you hear his voice today, harden not your heart. All you got to do, he said, be it unto me according to thy word.
Now, you need a shift this morning. The word of God is coming to you to let you know that what you couldn't do before this word, there is something now that's going to make you be able to do it. What you could not attain before this word, there is something in the prophetic gift that will make you be able to attain it. That's right. So are you ready? Now, Lord, I look at everybody that's in this room right now.